Well, welcome, everybody. I'm glad to be with you today. It's a great day to declare the goodness and the faithfulness of our God anew, to remember that He is good and His mercy endures forever. So, Lord, would you come and meet us as we worship you wherever we're at? Listen, we've waited.
Because we waited for this day. We've gathered in your name. We're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth.
Would you do it, oh God, in our hearts?
Because you're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
Open up.
Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart. You're filling every part of our prayer.
Your presence in this place.
Your presence. Your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our
hope. Oh, help us to see your presence, oh God.
You're the reason we're here.
You're the reason.
You're the reason we're saved.
to the newborn king. You know, these Christmas carols, they have so many verses, but they're so rich, and they're so deep in theology, because we declare, we sing the Christmas story, the fullness of the Christmas story. So I want to challenge you to, as we sing every verse of these songs, that you would open up your heart and allow God's word to become living and active, that you would be invited into the story of Christmas. So we have two more verses to go. Let's sing, Hail the Heaven-Born Prince of Peace. We celebrate him. Continue to come to us even now. Be Emmanuel with us, our God with us. This is our prayer. Come, desire of nations, come. Let's sing this last verse.
And come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now we face, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to
Well, the story of Christmas is such a powerful story because it's so real and so true. When we think about the coming of Jesus, sometimes it can be like a Pollyanna world, that everything is right with the world. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. But the problem is that's not what the Bible record tells us. The Bible tells us that Jesus comes in the midst of pain, of sorrow, and of suffering. And it's because of that reality that his coming is such great news and brings such tidings of great joy to us. So we're going to sing this Christmas carol, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And as we do so, I want you to receive, as if you're hearing for the first time, the peace and the good news that now you can rest, your souls can be at ease, because Emmanuel has come to be with us. So this is God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray.
God our Heavenly Father,
a blessed angel came.
set. Fear not, then, said the angel, in nothing you afraid. This day is born a Savior of virtue, power, and mind, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and mind. Comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises. Our God is coming near to bring his peace and kingdom and fill our hearts with cheer. The darkness is now giving way to joy's unending light. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or don't be afraid. We're going to do a song that we did several months ago. It talks about experiencing the peace of Christ that surpasses understanding. It goes like this.
You will stay true. Even when the lies come, your word remains truth. Even when my thoughts don't line up, I will stand tall on each promise you made. Let the rest fade away.
Sing, you will stay true.
You will stay true, even in the chaos.
Thank you, Lord, for that promise.
Your word remains true, even when my mind wreaks havoc. I will be still, for I've known all along, my Jehovah Shalom.
Here's the good news today. There's a peace far beyond all understanding.
There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. Dare anxiety come, I'll remember that peace is a promise you keep. The peace is a promise you keep.
We'll sing that verse again. You will stay true.
You will stay true, even when the lies come. Your word remains true, even when my thoughts don't line up. I will stand tall on each promise you made. Let the rest fade away. There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. What anxiety fails to remember, this peace is a promise you give. The peace is a promise you give.
You are peace.
You are peace to a restless soul. When my thoughts wage war, your peace to the anxious heart. That's who you are. That's who you are.
peace when my fears take hold. Your peace when I feel in cold. Your peace when I lose control. That's who you are. That's who you are.
I found peace.
I found peace far beyond all understanding. Let it flow when my mind's under siege. All anxiety bows in the presence of Jesus, the keeper of peace. And peace is a promise he keeps.
Stand on that promise, all anxiety bows.
All anxiety bows in the presence of Jesus, the keeper of peace. And Jesus, a promise he keeps. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Well, welcome everyone. It's so good to worship with you today. My name is Marvin, one of the pastors, and it's just a privilege and a pleasure to be with each and every one of you. Did you get enough turkey this week? No? Somebody said no. I've got some turkey in my house for you. I've got a Tupperware full of turkey. Got leftovers for you. So stop by my house. We'll pick it up. It's so good to be with you. Welcome to our online community as well. If you are watching this service, wherever you might be eating turkey and watching this service right now. Welcome to you as well. We love that you're here. If you are new, if you're visiting with us today, just want to say thank you for being here. We would love to connect with you. There's just a few easy ways that you can help us to identify you so that we might follow up with you. You can grab the connection card that is right in the seat back in front of you. You can fill out that connection card, drop it in the offering bag. Otherwise, you can go out to the lobby. There's a really cool new people's area out there where you can stop by. Somebody will greet you and get some information from you so that someone will call you and tell you about our church. And if you're online, you can, of course, fill out the connection card online as well. I just wanted to let you guys know that we are excited for Christmas services here at Christian Assembly. Are you excited? Yeah. All right. We're excited. We're so excited. We're going to have Christmas and Christmas Eve services. We're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord together. So I'm going to encourage you. Think about someone that you'd like to invite, whether it's a family member, a friend, a coworker, and would you just let them know, join me for Christmas services at Christian Assembly and invite them to be with us. If you did not fill out this RSVP card, would you pull that out now? And you can fill that out now. And you can see behind me all of the different service times that are listed there. Of course, that Saturday 6 p.m. service is full. So you can select any one of our other service times. You can fill out this card right now if you didn't fill one out last week. And you can drop that off in the offering basket as it comes around. And just as a reminder, this is just, again, to help us plan for Christmas services. This is not an RSVP. This is not a ticket. Again, just helping us plan to serve you and your guest well that weekend. Also, a reminder that our Christmas Eve services will be on December 23rd and 24th, which is a Thursday and a Friday. Again, you can see all of our different service times and dates on the screens behind me. So as you're filling that out, I just want to say thank you again for your cooperation and helping us serve everyone that will be attending. And I'm sure there's going to be a great services for Christmas and for Christmas Eve. For the women, we are having a women's gathering Christmas sing-along, and I'm kind of jealous that I don't get to come to this because it sounds like so much fun. That's going to be happening on Wednesday, December 8th at 7 p.m. right here in the South Sanctuary, and they wanted me to say that there's going to be churros in the house. So there's going to be churros, there's going to be Christmas carols and fun games, so please, if you're a woman, make plans to join other women for the Christmas sing-along. We have an Advent reading plan that will be beginning tomorrow. So this is a great way to get you and your family and your loved ones together and reading God's Word through the Advent season. You can pick up one of these Advent cards on your way out. They're also online, and also if you follow us on the reading plan on the app, you can also follow along with us that way as well. And finally, I'm calling all of our seniors age 65 and over to a gathering. It's happening the first and third Thursdays of every month. More information on these gatherings are in your bulletin, so we'd love to see you join the Seasoned Seniors community. At this time, I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward. We're going to continue worshiping the Lord through the giving of our tithes and offerings. If you are new, if you are visiting, feel no obligation to participate. You can also give on our website and on the app as well. But let's pray for this time. Father, we thank you for the ability that we're going to have to celebrate your birth, your arrival, Lord. It's going to be a tremendous time, Father God. So thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless our worship gathering today, Lord. Even as we worship you through the giving of our tithes and offerings, would you bless those that are able to give? And we ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.
They're so passionate to follow Jesus, and they live that out both in their classes and on mission, like on campus.
If you guys just want us to pray for you guys, you know, we're here for you guys. We're trying to build a community, and we're just trying to make you guys part of the family.
Once we started having those conversations about Jesus, people started responding in a way that they were thinking more, and they were contemplating, yeah, who really is Jesus, and who is Jesus to me?
We want to see God and His Spirit break out on every corner of every campus. Is that what we want?
When you see Jesus for who He is, it changes everything. When you see Jesus for who He is, nothing else is the same.
When you see Jesus for who He is, nothing else is the same. And I know so many of us can relate to that. When we think about the grace of God and when we first encountered the love of Christ, our whole lives changed. And that's what our kingdom value is all about here at CA. Our kingdom value is about being compelled out by God's grace. When we encounter Him, when we experience His presence, we're then compelled out to share His love beyond the walls of the church to those in need. Well, my name's Scott, and it's a Kingdom Weekend where once a month as a church, we take time to highlight how God's moving on mission and how we're following Him as a church and seeing the impact that's coming because of that. And it's incredible how God's moving through the ministry of InterVarsity on college campuses all across the U.S. And in a moment, we get to hear from Doug and Sandy Shout, who have been a longtime part of our CA family. Doug is the National Director of Evangelism, and Sandy does pastoral care for staff and leaders. So let's give a warm welcome to Doug and Sandy as they come on up. Well, Doug and Sandy, thanks so much for being with us here this weekend, and just the longevity and the way that you've been leading with InterVarsity for so many years and all the impacts that's happened. And Doug, I'd love if you can start us off with sharing what God's been doing on college campuses all across the country.
Yeah, we love you, CA family. Thank you for, in person, being together. It's great to be here and be part of you for 20 years. Post-COVID, college students are hungry for Jesus. And we are seeing people respond really well on campus to the gospel. And our campaign this fall is Jesus and self-care. And as you might imagine, that's a hot topic and a hot theme. And here's my levitating hair t-shirt. You can see us out in the lobby if you want to see the kind of conversations that we're having on campus. One cool story from Oxy, local story. Kennedy, I just met her on October 17th. She's a junior. She plays on the volleyball team. And here we are doing a video in my living room. She does her Bible study opener the same as every time. How's your self-care? Mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, scale of 1 to 10. So they're always sort of self-assessing and then moving to prayer. So I asked her at the end of a training, do you want to be a 101 courageous witness or a 201? And she said, Doug, I'm a 101. I'm like, great, Jesus will take that 101 and do something with it. So the very next day, she was supposed to go to Bible study. She was having a terrible day. She didn't want to go, but her co-leader bailed out. So she had to go to Bible study. She's like, all right, I'll be a 101 witness. I'm going to ask them how they're doing and pray with them. And then she prayed for someone named Kate, and Kate had never prayed in her life. And she's like, uh-oh, here we go. And at the end of the prayer, Kate said, I want to follow Jesus. And Kennedy had never helped somebody follow Jesus in her life, and she exploded with joy. She goes home to her apartment. Her seven skeptic roommates are sitting there, and she's like, Jesus, this worked! And she's exploding all over her roommates. And then one of them starts crying and says, I'm so happy. And the other one says, could you pray for me like that? So they have a prayer time. Next thing you know, they're all holding hands. They're all crying. And she's like, God loves you, and God loves you, and God. She just starts going like prophetic prayer down the line. And then since then, that was like October 17th. Since then, now they become seekers, and now they promote prayer. So they'll have like a depressed friend come over, and they say, there's this thing called prayer. Kennedy prays with you. You start crying, and you feel better. And now they're evangelists, and a God moment at Oxy has become a God movement, and they're all on the cusp of following Jesus together. So that's a great story of Gen Z saying, we want more of Jesus. So thank you, CA.
Amen. Wow. That's so awesome thinking about right here at Oxy, a disciple, Kennedy, and just the ripple effect that's happening when you deposit this seeds in the gospel, and then she's now spreading the love of Jesus all across campus. And, you know, when you think about that, they have the proxy out there, as well as the need right now for self-care. Self-care amongst young people right now, we know how hard the season's been amongst college students. And so thank you so much for the work that you're doing amongst college students. And Sandy, you especially, how you've been pastoring college students, how you've been pastoring leaders at InterVarsity amidst such a hard season. Can you share with us, as a church family, how we can be praying for you in the ministry at InterVarsity?
Yeah, thanks so much, CA, for praying for us and for our family. Right now, I'd say the biggest prayer is for staff to really stay connected and rooted in Jesus so that their love and their hope and wisdom is really coming from God and not from their own strength. There are so many needs out there right now on campuses, and so students or staff can be prone to just try to do things all on their own, but they really need God's guidance. So that would probably be the best prayer for them. So thank you so much, CA, for praying for us and your love and support for us.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pray right now. If you feel comfortable, feel free to extend your hand out. We're going to go ahead and pray now for Doug and Sandy, the ministry at InterVarsity. Father, thank you so much for your love for Doug and Sandy, for who they are, Lord, and you, and just the leadership that you've given them, Lord, to have this impact over so many years. And God, we pray, Lord, for the staff and leaders of InterVarsity. God, those who are laboring, you say that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we pray, Lord, you would continue to raise up leaders like Kennedy on campuses. We pray that you would move powerfully all across the U.S., Lord, through this ministry of InterVarsity. And those who've never heard the gospel on college campuses would hear. And we just thank you so much for the work that Doug and Sandy are doing. And we pray that you would bless them this weekend. They would feel loved and supported and cared for. Thank you so much for the ways that we partner with them in the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's go and give it up again one more time for Doug and Sandy. Yeah. Well, church family, thanks so much again for the ways that we link arms in God's mission together. And one of the ways we do that is through giving to the Kingdom Offering, which supports Doug and Sandy along with all of our other Kingdom partnerships and efforts that are having impact all across the world. And so good news is that blue buckets are back. And so ushers will be coming forward now. We're going to go ahead and pass around the blue buckets. And you can give to the Kingdom Offering that way, or you can give online by going to our app or website. Just make sure to click the Kingdom Offering tab. So thanks so much for linking arms in God's mission together.
All right. Well, get rid of that. Thank you, Scott, for that Kingdom update. My name is Matt. I'm so glad to be with you and want to welcome all who are joining us online as well. What an honor it is to have this time with you as well. And want to say thank you to Doug and Sandy just for the years that we have had the privilege and opportunity to give together in this Kingdom offering to support the work that they are doing. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And over the last couple of days, I've thought about so many things that I'm thankful for And one thing I am so thankful, I can't put into words enough how grateful I am for this local church, Christian Assembly, what you have meant to me personally, and how you have shaped my life. You are such a gift to me and a gift to this world. Next week, by the way, we're going to get a chance to hear from Julie Boyd. Julie and Titus are visiting from Kenya, and Julie has written a book, and she's going to make some copies available to us next weekend in our weekend services, so you will want to make sure to be with us for that. Today, we're going to finish up the series we've been in, God is fill in the blank. Who would have thought we could make a whole sermon series out of something like fill in the blank? But that's what we have done, and it's been, I think, an encouragement, and it's been instructive for us to look into God's Word and to discover who God says He is. You know, the earliest writers of Scripture did not ask if God exists. That's much more of a modern question. There was no question in the minds of those who wrote Scripture that God is. But they asked, how does God fill in the blank about Himself? And that's what we've been asking. And we've seen in God's Word that God is holy. God is steadfast and just. God is our provider. God is love, God is wise, and God is good. And there is far more that we can say God is, and I want to point to one more fill in the blank today and tell you how it matters for every one of us. This last fill in the blank in this series, I believe it's probably the most crucial that we will talk about, because it is only with this trait of God that we can personally experience all the other traits that we have talked about. And I'm going to tell you what it is in just a minute. I want you to think about this with me. Everywhere I go lately, I see places with signs in windows, and you probably have seen them too. And they say, hiring. You seen a lot of those signs? I couldn't believe the Chick-fil-A over in Pasadena by Pasadena City College the other day. I saw a sign out in front, hiring 50 new team members. 50. Looking for a job and looking for the right people to fill that job. Both of those are really challenging. Hiring managers, business owners, human resource recruiters are doing their best to find people with certain qualities and skills and training and experience for just the right salary, wages. And people who are looking for jobs, well, they're trying to express that they've got all that it takes. In fact, a resume, if you think about it, and an interview are both ways of saying, this is who I am. I'm who you're looking for. I've got all the right stuff. And it's the employer or the hiring manager's job to assess and decide, are you the right person for this job? Now, why am I talking about hiring? That's not the fill in the blank. although I think I could preach a whole sermon on God is hiring. He's hiring to demonstrate the power of his love. He's hiring us to be displays of his grace. He's hiring us to tell the gospel, to love our neighbors, to pray for our enemies, to take the last seat, to serve and encourage one another. God is hiring us in all kinds of ways, but that's not the word today. That's just a little free, one more little God is that you can take with you. Here's the word for today. The word is relational. God is relational. And that matters. Most hiring specialists will tell you that the decision to hire someone often comes down to their relationship skills. Because that's how we show one another who we are. And we can know and we can experience all that God is because God is relational. Think about this. If God is not relational, he could still be holy. He could still be steadfast and just. God could still be our provider and not be relational. He could be loving, wise, and good. God could be all that he is, still worthy to be worshiped, still possessing all power and authority, still all-knowing and eternal without relationship. God is still all that God is. But if God is relational, then all that God is can make a difference in me and in you. And so I want to tell you three ways the Bible tells us that God offers relationship to us. And I want to tell you why each of those matter. So three words that describe relationship with God. Here's the first word. The first word is atonement. Atonement. Now that's a really churchy sounding word. Very Bible word. It's kind of a funny word in that way that we don't usually hear atonement outside of the Bible. And that there's a reason for that. It's because that word was made up in an effort to translate the Bible into English from Hebrew and Greek. The translators, they couldn't find a satisfactory word in English to describe what Jesus accomplished for us. By laying down his perfect life and freeing us from our record of sins that kept us separated from God, Jesus made it possible for us to be forgiven, reconciled, and joined together with God. And to describe that in English, the translators decided they had to squish together a phrase, at one meant. That's the word atonement. Hebrews chapter 2 tells it like this. For this reason, Jesus had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Atonement, atonement, is the kind of relationship God is determined to have with you and with me. By atonement, we can be reconciled with God. Nothing separating us from life with God. By atonement, whatever circumstances we are in, God says, I'll be in that with you. That's the first word that describes a relationship with God. Here's the second word the Bible uses. It's the word covenant. covenant. A covenant is a deal cut or a pact made with promises. More than a contract that can expire or be broken, a covenant is a relationship formed by promises. I've given you in your bulletins a couple of examples in the book of Genesis, God making relationship through covenant. And whenever we receive communion together, we remember God's covenant offered through Jesus. So here's what that word means. It means if I don't follow through in a covenant, then what I've done is I have broken my promise. I have broken trust, and I have broken relationship. I can cause damage that requires repair and restoration. God forms relationships with us through his unbroken promises. All the promises of God that the Bible says that are yes and amen, you can count on him. He will not break his promise. In fact, one of the stories in Genesis is God making a covenant with someone who he basically says, you know what, you sit this one out and just let me make this covenant because I know what'll happen if you try to make it. You'll break it, but I'm going to hold on to this. You can count on me to keep my promises. So God forms relationship with us through unbroken promises. That's the covenant part of his relationship. And the third word that describes relationship with God is the word choice. He offers relationship with him by his choice. The Bible's full of accounts of God choosing to reveal himself and involve himself in human affairs through relationship with people. And the people, it is clear, God chooses them. It's often made very clear that God has chosen to enter into a relationship with people, and his choice is not always the obvious choice. In fact, usually, it's not at all the obvious choice. And we can all thank God for that. John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Jesus wanted it to be clear to that ragtag bunch of men and women that he called to follow him. You didn't just choose to do this on your own. I chose you. I chose you so that you would be the people filled with the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that conceived Jesus and the same Spirit of God that raised him from the dead, so that the power of God would produce in God's chosen people what only God could do. God is relational. Atonement, covenant, and choice describe that relationship with God. And now I want to tell you why each of those words matter for us, okay? First, because of atonement, the relationship God offers us is personal, stunningly personal. Some of you might remember the line from The Godfather, this is business, it's not personal. Well, I'm telling you, it's personal. It's personal because of what the atonement is. Because God wanted nothing to separate us from him. He is so personal. God wants a relationship with you and me that can only be explained by being at one with him. So personal is our God that when Jesus revealed himself to show us the visible image of the invisible God, when Jesus showed up, he didn't just set himself up on a throne in a temple and gather masses to worship him, but Jesus, he entered into personal relationships. He touched and he healed and he fed and he welcomed. He's so personal that many of us know the names of his closest friends, like Peter and James and John and Mary and Martha, and on, these names that we know who were friends with Jesus. Don't take this for granted and miss out how amazing that is, that Jesus did not show us who he is through a political agenda or pious religiosity. Jesus revealed himself as the saving, covenant-making Son of God through personal relationships, through friendship. And then he gave his life as an atonement for sin. It's personal. It's deeply personal. In atonement, God's holiness gives me hope in my life for the broken areas of life that I face. In atonement, God's steadfast faithfulness is a rock of salvation for me. In atonement, I can witness and I can even participate in God's justice. His love, his wisdom, his goodness are all personally available and accessible to me and to you in this relationship that is based upon atonement. That's why we talk about having a personal relationship with Jesus. So often, I will meet people who are new to Christian Assembly. I'll meet them in the baptism class or in the partnership class, or one way or another, they will share their story with me. And so often, I will hear them say things like, "I always believed in God, but I never had a personal relationship with God until I accepted and trusted Jesus to be my Savior, to forgive me, to free me, and to lead me personally as the Lord of my life." God is so relational. It's personal. It's personal to him, and it can be personal for us. Here's the second reason it matters for us today, because God offers us this covenant relationship. You and I can know him through his word. This God that wants to be at one with you, this God who wants a personal relationship with you, you and I can know him through his word. God wants us to know him and to know him personally. And so he's given us a record of his covenant promises in the Bible. From beginning to end, God has revealed himself by his words. And by his words, we can know God still today. The words of Scripture are not merely words about God. They are words from God, inspired by the Spirit of God. I don't know the mystery of how the Spirit of God produced Scripture through human hands, but I believe it, and because it's personal, and because God wants us to know him through his word. I love this quote by Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said, "No man can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life." That was Albert Einstein who said that about the gospel. He's a pretty smart guy. Think of all that we know Just think about this, all that we know of God. Even just think about how the Bible has influenced our imagination of what God must be like. All that we know about Him comes through His Word. We know God is one in three, Father, Son, and Spirit. We know that from the Word of God. We know that He not only created the world, but loves the world. Through His Word, we know God does not choose merely the beautiful, the powerful, the popular, the impressive, or the self-righteous. Through His Word, we know God chooses to love and to forgive sin and to show mercy and uphold justice. We know through the Word that God is willing to be near to the brokenhearted, to lift up the faces of the downcast, and to set captives free. We know through God's Word that God fully experienced the human condition by showing up in the flesh of a poor carpenter's child in a nowhere town. We know that God did not place His Son on an earthly throne, but allowed people like you and me to nail Him to a cross. We know the Son of God was willing to suffer and give His life so that nothing could separate us from Him. Through God's Word, we know Jesus did not stay dead, but rose with the power to overcome and lives to offer that power to all who trust in Him. Through God's Word, we know God. We know that He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. All the covenant promises that God has made, He has made known through His Word so that we can know God. He is so relational. And if you want to know Him, and you can, just begin to look for Him in the Bible. Begin to look for Him in Scripture. In fact, you can join us every day of the week. We have a member of our staff show up on Facebook or our website or YouTube to just offer a little daily touch point, a little word of encouragement of who God says He is and what life with God can be like. And you can join us each day of the week for that as we read through that reading plan that Marvin mentioned earlier. Because as you read through God's Word, you will come to know God. And here's the reason that third word matters. If God chooses His choice, if God chooses to be in relationship with us, then God knows who He has chosen. God knows us. He knows you and me, and still He chooses us. Isn't that good news? My maternal grandfather was Sicilian, and he often used a Sicilian phrase with his family. He would say to us, "Te saccio," which means, "I know you." Anytime my grandfather had a hunch that someone was up to something that they weren't fully disclosing, I don't call it Sicilian intuition or something, but he would say, "Ah, te saccio. I know you. I know you." If my grandmother was going to the grocery store, "How long are you going to be gone?" "Well, I thought while I was out I might as well." "Ah, te saccio, I know you." I knew something was up. And that little phrase became almost like a term of endearment in my family, a way to express our knowledge of one another, our closely held relationships. "I know you." God is relational. And He wants to know us. And the Bible tells us that He does know you and me. In fact, look at these scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says, "People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord Tesacho, I know you. He looks at the heart. Psalm 139, 3 and 4, you discern, this is a prayer to God. God, you discern my going out and my lying down. God, you know me. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, Tesacho, you know it. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows you. God is so personally relational. And he knows who he's chosen. God is holy. And in relationship with me, he knows, think about this, everything in my life that needs to be cut away, that needs to be discarded, that needs to be washed away. God knows all of that in his holiness, and still he chooses life with me. God is steadfast, and he knows what will threaten to move me from my stance upon the rock of ages. And still knowing that, God chooses me. He chooses to steady me. And we can go on and on applying what God says he is in the most personal terms, because our relational God knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about us, and still he chooses us. I know you, and still I will never leave you or forget you, he says. He says, I know you, and still I choose life with you today and forever. He is relational, and he chooses you and me. Alex, would you come and join me as we finish our time? God chose you. Do not doubt for a minute that you are not included in that. And God has removed all obstacles to be at one with you so that you can receive all the promises that he has made to us. And what does God ask in return from us in this friendship, this relationship that he offers? He asks simply that we trust him. That's faith. The one word you need to know about responding to God's offer of relationship with him is faith. Do you trust the atonement Jesus has made for you and me? Do you trust that because of what Jesus has done, God is with you in whatever you're facing? Do you trust that God will make good on his promises to you and me? And do you trust that despite all that God knows of you and of me, still he chooses us? He chooses us to know his love and receive his grace. God is, and all that he is matters for you and for me because he is relational. It's personal. It's personal for you and for God. Would you pray with me tonight? I want to invite you. I want to invite you to think of whatever it is in your mind that's your biggest challenge, your biggest upset, your biggest disappointment that you're carrying today. some of you know exactly what that is. And I want to approach God together with you. And I want to trust that God knows exactly what it is. And that God has chosen to be with you. And that He knows exactly what it is that He needs to do with that obstacle, with that stress, with that disappointment, whatever that issue is, that heaviest burden that you're carrying. And I want to invite you to trust God with that. Trust Him to hold it with you. Trust Him to look you right in the face with truth and with wisdom, and trust that He knows the answer. He knows the solution. He knows the end of that story. And the Bible says that we can throw, we can toss, we can cast our cares to Him, for He cares for us. Can you let go? Can you let go and believe that God welcomes you into relationship with Him through the atonement of Jesus? And in the place of all the burden that you carry, God wants to fill your life with the promises that He has made to us. And so, Lord, we let go. And as a friend, Lord, we trust You. We trust You with what we're carrying. We trust You, Lord, with the rest of our lives, with the rest of our stories, with the rest of today. We trust You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship Him.
Sing together. I have a Maker, and He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands, 'cause He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls. And He hears me when I call. Let's stand together to sing the next verse. I have a Father. And I have the Father, and He calls me His own, and He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name, and He knows my name. And He hears me when I call. He knows my name, we say. Oh, and He knows my name. And He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls. And He hears me when I call. He hears me when I call. And he hears me when I call. He hears me when, and he hears me when I call. Can we just be still just for a moment? Lord, we've heard your word proclaimed in this place, but would it be rooted deeply into our hearts? Let our minds and our lives be transformed by the power of your word. Would you do it with the help of your Holy Spirit today? We're going to have prayer teams available here by my right, and if you're online, you could email us your prayer request. We want to pray with you. But as you leave, I want to send you now in this blessing. Receive this blessing as you leave. Now may all the gifts that come from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ be yours. As you look eagerly for Christ's coming, know that he is Emmanuel, strengthening you and waiting with you. We say these things over one another, bless each other in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son. The church said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend.